But we're going to start right here in Deuteronomy chapter number 19. This is concerning the cities of refuge. And when the Lord God hath cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their cities and in their houses. So God has given them the city, and then all of a sudden they're living in a place they didn't build, a city, they're eating of vineyards that they didn't plant. Verse number 2, he says, thou shalt separate 3 cities for thee in the midst of the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. You're going to separate 3 cities for these cities of refuge. Verse number 3, thou shalt prepare thee a way, divide the coast of the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit into 3 parts, that every slayer of man may flee thither. And then he goes on to talk about how that the one would accidentally kill his neighbor. There had been no anger before that time. He needs a place of safety. He is to run to the city of refuge, picking up at verse number 7. Wherefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate 3 cities for thee. And if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers. There is a stipulation there. The promises of God. Now, we want to be careful, because we can say, well, if God promised it, then he's just going to do it. Well, there is some contingencies upon some things. Amen. Many, many times he said, if you will, I will. If you will humble yourself, therefore, and pray, I will open up the windows of heaven. I will bless the land. I will do it. So there are some stipulations. This is one of them. He said, if the Lord thy God hath enlarged thy coast as he has sworn unto thy fathers, there's some things that you've got to do, and you got to take care of the business there by preparing a way and getting the 3 cities. Give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, if thou keep all these commandments to do them which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways. Then thou shalt add 3 more cities for thee besides these 3. So God said, look, if you'll take care of the things that I have given you, I will enlarge your borders. And I will give you more. And then you're going to do it again. You're going to get 3 more cities. And you're going to have to prepare the way to those. And so tonight we want to just continue to talk about preparing for. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We want to be prepared for. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. And you may be seated here. Amen. Tonight. Lord is so good to us. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think that these cities of refuge are not only, there's many things that we could call them, name them and such, but they're such a good thing, a blessed thing, a magnificent thing, in that people that are guilty of what we would know as manslaughter, not murder, but manslaughter, basically an accidental killing, they have a place of refuge. They have a place that they can run to. And they can, if they can make it to that place, then the Lord said, this is the rules of that place. The rules of that place is that the doors or the gates shall always be open. That at no matter what time that the innocent, that the one that is guilty of manslaughter but not guilty of murder, that they would be able to run to. And whatever time that they need access to that city, the gates will be available and open to them. 3 o'clock in the morning, it's going to be open. It's going to be open to them. And the Lord would stipulate and say, now inside that city, they shall find refuge. And the avenger of blood cannot go into that city to extract that one out and to kill him. If he were to kill him, then he would be guilty of murder. But the one that is innocent here has a place that they can run into and be safe. And they can stay in that place as long as they need. As long as they desire, that place is for them. And while they are there, They can do anything that they want inside, as far as obviously what is legal within side of the city limits and such. They have to abide by the rules and the regulations of city councils and whatever that was set up in that area, and governments and such. But they get to stay. They can have a house. They can have land. They can have vineyards. They can have crops. They can have anything, just like they can have on the outside at their own place. They can have that. And they stay there. And they have to stay there if they're going to be preserved for safety and saved. They have to stay there. And as long as the high priest is alive, they stay there. They are safe. That is the rules and the laws of the city. And so God said, you know what? You may need access to that. You may have a loved one that needs access to that. You may have friends and family. You may have neighbors. You may have somebody in the vicinity. You yourself may have need of that because it's accidental. And if you need it, it's going to be there. But here's what it is. If you can get them to the city, then we can hold them safely. But you got to get them to the city. And so he said, you have to prepare the way. And so we talked on Wednesday night about preparing the way. That when the cities were defined and lined out into the strategic areas and in three separate areas, all basically within the same distance apart, that no matter where you are, you would have a good opportunity to make it to a city of refuge. And that you could get there, and so in order to get there, then it is up to us to create the path. And so if there was no road, then it is up to us to create the road. We got to blaze the trail. We got to make straight the path. We got to do, and we talked about making straight the path and the way that the Romans did it and such. But if there were trees in the way and stuff, then let's go through them. Let's cut them down and get them out of the way instead of making it harder for you to get to the city of refuge. If there are roots that are growing that are obnoxious and trip hazards, then let's root them up. Let's get them out and let's make it straight. And then there was the maintenance of the yearly maintenance that they had to do. And so the winter snows would melt and have wash off. The spring rains would wash out areas. And so it was up to you and I to make sure that we prepared and that we fixed all of these washouts and stuff so that maybe I need it, maybe you need it, maybe our loved ones need it, but they don't have to trip and stumble. And if there was some type of crevice or there was some type of valley or gorge or something, then let's build a bridge so that you don't have to trip and fall and stumble and hurt yourself all the way to the bottom, to fight yourself all the way up, to cross the roaring gorge and the rivers that are there. Let's just build a bridge over it so that I can get you as quick as possible and as safely possible from here to the city of refuge. And we also want to make signs at every crossroad that whoever is in need of it, they don't have to sit there and debate which way that they're going to go. There's no flipping a quarter, heads this way, tails this way. The signs point very, very specifically. As a matter of fact, there's two signs that say Malik, which just simply means refuge, and that we would know that whoever is in need knows, and they can see that, and they can just keep on running, because I need to get you to the city of refuge as quickly, as fast as possible, as we possibly can. And so we talked about these things, and we talked about preparing for revival and preparing the road and the way for people that are going to come, for the guests, for the visitors, for loved ones, for those that you're teaching home Bible studies to, for those that you will teach home Bible studies to, for those that you will witness to at work. Amen. It is essential. It is necessary that there is a path that is created, amen, to the altar, to the place of refuge, amen, for them to be able to get to. John the Baptist said, amen, that he was there to prepare the way of the Lord, that he was going to make straight the path. And when Jesus showed up, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And those that were following John the Baptist turned and followed Jesus rather. And that was the will of God. That was what John didn't have an ego trip that he was on trying to solicit followers and all that other stuff. He was trying to turn them and focus them upon one. As a matter of fact, he would say, look at him. He must increase and I must decrease. I want you to know that I'm not even worthy to unlatch his sandals. Amen. So John the Baptist positioned himself in the right place, but he was preparing a way. And that's what you and I have to do. And we're not going to go back into all of that, but you and I have to make sure that the road is clear. We need to make sure that the road is clear for every guest, for every visitor, that when they come to the house of God, amen, that they don't have to trip and stumble over all the little things and nuances that we may have. Praise God. That's kind of what pre-service prayer is for, is to come make sure that everything is right and that everything is pure and that everything is good. So that should we have, you know, Wednesday night, we were having great church and stuff, and a visitor just walked in. Amen. Walked in at about 8:30 and sat on the pew and stuff. I expect him to come back at some point in time. I know where he works. I know he works lots of hours and such. I'm expecting him to come back. And we want him to come back. And we want him to bring, you know, family and members and stuff like that. And so we got to create a path. There should never be, amen, somebody that would come to the house of God and say, well, you know what? I believe that church is a good church, but it's just full of a bunch of cliques. It's full of a bunch of personalities, full of a bunch of, this and that and attitudes and stuff. They can't make it because of a root of bitterness that somebody didn't clean out and make straight. And there was no clear-cut sign that showed them the way or anything else like that. Amen. It is our responsibility to create a way to get them from there to hear. And that includes you. You don't want your guests to come and the church is dirty. You don't want that. You don't want to come and there's Kleenexes all over the pews and empty water bottles on the pews and stuff like that. And there's trash in the garbage can that looks like it hasn't been taken out in 3 weeks and stuff. You don't want that. You would be embarrassed. And then whoever it is that comes in, they look and they're like, well, man. They don't take care of the church. They don't clean the church. They don't do anything. Amen. So you know what? We take care and we make sure that the church is clean. Amen. That's why we'll have work days, because we would be embarrassed to have visitors that would come and the outside is, you know, that we got fascia board that's just barely hanging on, or we got, you know, a church that needs painted and it's just peeling and stuff and everything is messed up and that and stuff. That's why we have church work days to fix stuff and to make, because we want people to come and not get caught up on all of those little things on their way down to the altars. Amen. Praise God. That's why we have pre-service prayer. That's why we have prayer meeting, because we are trying to prepare the path for them to come. That's why we have music practice. You don't want your visitor to come and for the musicians to get cranking on the music and stuff and missing every other note and stuff, and it sounds horrendous. It sounds like, you know, my two grandkids are playing the piano or something, you know. You don't want that. And you'd be like, oh my God, they picked the worst time to really flub it. You don't want that. And people, you know, I know that, you know, there was made mention one time, you know, Brother Chuck has a degree in music. So he came the first time, and he was just like, ugh. But we've gotten past all of that, and God has helped us, and God has blessed. But we don't want that. We don't want somebody to get caught up on the way to the refuge, amen, and think to themselves, I mean, that sounds like a hobo church. I mean, No, we want to put our best foot forward. And so we have musicians practice, and we have singers practice, and we have this because we all want the best. And so we have to invest our time into that. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Can I pastor here for just a little while before I get in? I may not get any further than this, but I just feel the need to say amen some of this here tonight. Amen. I would to God that you would realize and understand how many hours are put in behind the scene that you don't even know of. As far as media and working the music and working all of those things and such, there are literally hours and hours. There's there's over 40, there's over 100 hours. Over 100 hours putting just some of the stuff that you saw up here tonight in the way that it's done. There's over 100 hours put into all of that. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to make it happen. And I thank God for those that have committed themselves to work on it and to make it happen and such like that. But, you know, if you were to go to, let's just generalize, and let's say a charismatic church. You know, some of us say, you know, music practices at 9 a.m., blah. I've got to be at the church at 9 o'clock. You know what? If you was at a charismatic church, you would have been there at 7:30 or 8 a.m. And that's no lie. That's no lie. They get there super early. Sometimes their sound techs are there. Their music director is there at 6 and 7 in the morning preparing all of the sets and preparing everything. Their sound guys are there, amen, 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning having sound checks and making sure that everything is right and going on and all that other stuff. Singers are there practicing, and they practice from 8:30 until whenever. And then they may have a little, whatever you want to call it, a little, you know, 5 or 10 minute Bible study is something that just talks about. They take their job so seriously that they are in the work of ministry, that they're singing, but it's ministering, and they're playing, but it's ministering and stuff. And I have read some of the dialogues of all of these different individuals and these different churches all across the nation and stuff. They go out if they're having two services or whatever and stuff like that. But on a Sunday. Just on a Sunday alone, they've got over, each of them, they got over 8 hours invested outside of just the service alone. Just invested in preparing for the service. And then sometimes Pentecostals who have the truth. Pentecostals that have the truth is just like, we ought to be putting our best foot forward. We really need to. We need to put our best foot forward. Praise God. And so there are some times that we're going to have music practice and song practice and stuff like that. But it's not just for us. It's for everybody else that is coming. And when they come, they need to find a good straight path all the way down to the altar. And you say, well, you know, I've been there as pastor of a church. Amen. There was this one lady that came down to the altar, and we were just so thankful to God that she had even come to the altar. She never come to the altar. And she came down to the altar, and she stayed a few minutes and got up and left. I mean, walked out the building and left. And later that day, her father-in-law came to me, and he said, I'll tell you why that she got up and left. And he said, because the drums was too loud. And she was there at the altar, and the altar is the platform, and she had put her head down on the platform, and all she could hear was, you know, the thump thump and the bang bang of the bass drum, and it was too loud, and she couldn't concentrate and stuff. And you know, and me, I just want to blow up and say, if she really wanted God, she'd just get through that. Well, that's not a very good straight path. That's not a very clear path, is it? It's really not. It's really not. And so I have to back up, and I have to swallow, and I have to think, you know what? Let's do this right. Let's do this right. Amen. Because we don't want to be offensive in any way. Because the most important thing is that they go from that pew. You understand and you know how hard it is just to get them to come. And the most important thing, the last thing that you want is to work and work and work and work to get somebody to come. And then they come and all the church isn't friendly. These are things that you and I take care of. And these are things that we've got to recognize and we've got to notice. And when there is guests that are here, you know what? We've got to make sure that as soon as church is over, or, you know, that, you know, as music, we're all up here. And when we're dissipated, going back to our pews and stuff, we stop and we greet them and whatnot. And if they're sitting by themselves, we can even offer, hey, you like to come sit with me and whatever stuff like that. Why? I am preparing a path to try to get them from the pew to the altar, because that's the most important thing, is that they find refuge for their soul. Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right, I'll come down off of my soapbox tonight. Praise God. All right, Brother Dennis said go ahead and preach, so I might just do that. Praise the Lord. But I am so thankful for the cities of refuge because they mean something. They have meaning unto them. There is purpose that is generated through each and every one of them. And so the Bible teaches us that Joshua would separate the three cities. As a matter of fact, amen, that Joshua was so on everything. He was making everything. I mean, praise God. I could stop and pastor again for a little while longer here. I want you to know that God had told them. He said, look, you start with three cities and prepare the way. And then when you get all of this taken care of, I'll give you more. I want you to know that Joshua was so proactive. Joshua was so on top of things. Amen. That when it came time to do the three cities, amen, God said, just go ahead and do six. I'm not into this business, amen, just to have a little church. Amen. If we're going to be like Noah and just have eight that are saved, then so be it. But bless God, we're going to be preachers of righteousness from now until Jesus comes. Amen. But I'm not going to be satisfied with eight. Amen. I want 108. I want 508. I want however many that God would get us. And we're going to be proactive because we're going to build the road and make straight the path. And we're going to clean out everything. Amen. And we're going to make sure that the sinner's got a great way to come from the pew to the altars. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. I'm already working diligently, amen, and trying to be as proactive as I can be and stuff. You know those fishermen, praise God, I don't know where I'm going tonight. Amen, you're in trouble. I did not say I was going to be short-winded tonight, though. Praise God. Amen. But you know those fishermen, when Jesus found, the Bible said that they were mending their nets. Why were they mending their nets? Number one, they were tore up. There was something that was wrong. And if they don't mend the nets, then they're not going to be able to catch fish. They're going to escape. Number two, they mended their nets because they had faith that when the next time they went out, that they were going to catch something. Amen. They were being proactive for what was going to come in the future. Every prayer meeting, amen, is a measure of proactivity. Every pre-service prayer is being proactive. Everything you do for God is being proactive. I'm creating a path for somebody that's coming after me. I'm creating a way. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. You're going to hope and pray that I never find a new building. Amen. Or once we find a new building, you're going to say, I hope we never need a new one. Amen. Because it's going to be like throwing gas on a fire. I've already talked to two different evangelists and told them what I want. I told them, I said, I want a 4-month revival. Amen. Praise God. Well, somebody's happy about it. I did. I said, look, I said, it may not fit into your schedule, and so I'm calling others and finding out, but this is what I want, that when I move into a new building, if I need new branding and need new business cards and need this and need flyers and door hangers and all that other stuff, I'm getting everything ready, and we're going to have it all printed out, and we're going to have it all ready so that you can put it in your pocket and so that you can have it in your car, amen, so that you can be ready for everything. Amen. And then when we get everything opened up and we move and we go over there, we're going to have high church and we're going to have a good church and we're going to be passing out flyers. We're going to send out a mailer to everybody in the city. We're going to let them know where we are, why we are, and what we're in the business of doing. Amen. We're going to let it be known high, amen, and loud and long, that we're here to have revival and to help somebody. We're going to be involved in the community. We're going to be doing everything that we possibly can. And until the end, we're going to do everything that we possibly can. But I'm also going to bring in an evangelist. Amen. And we're going to evangelize. Amen. For however long that it needs to go. Oh, yeah. I want to see people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I'd love to see your family get the Holy Ghost. Your lost loved ones to get the Holy Ghost. I'd love to see the Sunday school, amen, rooms that we're going to have packed out, needing new teachers coming in, van drivers, amen, to make it happen. You say, why can't we have that now? Let's have it now. Let's do something for Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. That's why we have outreach. We're still doing outreach. We're still trying to get every house in Augusta again. Amen. With the flyer on the door. We've already sent out mailers. We've already done it one time. We're doing it a second time. We've sent out mailers to every house in the area and stuff. We're telling people, we got Bible studies. We got new Bible studies that just opened up this week. Praise God. Things are happening. We're excited about it. We're excited about it. Praise God. Amen. But the Lord, hallelujah. But the Lord said, you're going to have these cities of refuge. There were six cities. I'll try to get through them rather quickly. And amen, we'll just move on. I feel good here today. Praise God. And so the first city that Joshua picked out was a city by the name of Kadesh. And Kadesh simply means a holy place. And the holy place is a refuge for the unclean. Amen. They don't have an unspotted, unblemished record. They got something that is against them. But thank God for a holy place that they can run to and find refuge for their soul. Amen. We still going to be a holy church. Amen. Because our God is a holy God. And he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And every man that comes to the altar is sinful by their own nature. But at Calvary, Jesus provided a hiding place, a holy place that man can come to and find redemption for their soul through the blood of the Lamb. I'm thankful that God established a holy place. I said, God established a holy place. And he said, let's call this place holy. And let's put my name upon it as holy, because there are going to come people that are unclean. There's going to come people with a blemished record, and they need something holy. They need something just and something right. Let's make sure that we keep this place a holy place. Amen. Praise God. Shechem was the next one. Shechem simply is a shoulder, or that which supports or sustains. Praise God. He said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you. This ought to be a place that people can come rest, not fall asleep in church. That's not what we're talking about. But you ought to be able to come into this place and not have to worry about, amen, all of the cares of life that are on the outside. Amen. You ought to be able to come in this place and leave your cares on the outside. Amen. You ought to be able to cast all of your cares upon Jesus Christ. Amen. The Shechem of the sanctuary. Amen. This is a refuge for the weary, that the devil has ran them ragged, and the devil is chasing them down. But they're running for an altar. They're running for a place that they can find rest in. And thank God there's a church that's been keeping the way clean. And we've been taking out the rocks of offense. And we've been building bridges to get over offenses and to get over things. Amen. And we've made a way. And the weary can run in. And it seems like they're sliding their way into an altar. But when they come down to the altar of Shechem, they're going to find rest. Amen. Jesus said, or God said in the book of Isaiah, amen, that with a stammering lip and another tongue, that he would speak to his people. And this is the rest which causeth the weary to rest. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost. When you get the Holy Ghost, it's like a whole load has been taken off of you and placed upon somebody else. It's that place of refuge. God takes the burdens. God takes the worries, and he shoulders them. Amen. Because that you cast all of your cares upon him. Thank God for a place that you can come to. Thank God for a city. Thank God for a church that you can come to and not be encumbered by all of the weights of the world. If you want to, you can, but you don't have to. You can find rest for your soul in the house of God. Praise God. We could talk about that shoulder, amen, that the shepherd went out looking for the lost, the one lost sheep, 99's back. He went out, and the Bible said that he put him on his shoulder. And he carried him back, put him upon his shoulder. Bible said in Isaiah 9 and 6 that the government would be upon his shoulder. God will carry your burdens. God will lighten your load. Amen. When you commit your ways unto the house of God. Amen. Third city was a city by the name of Hebron. And this just simply means fellowship. Thank God for fellowship. Praise God. Praise God. Pastor's going to step in the house for just a few minutes here today. I remember evangelizing one time. And we were at a very unique place. They had unique worship. Very, very vibrant. Very, very vibrant. I'm talking about, I mean, they sweated the place out. By the time they left church, before they left church, the whole place smelled like sweat. It stunk. It was bad. But they didn't worry about that. They just were interested in worshiping God. And so one time I'm up there, and I'm the evangelist, and I'm wound tight like a lion pacing back and forth. And pastor just looked at me, and he said, he's sitting down. He said, just sit down. I never had a pastor tell me to sit down. He's like, just sit down. He said it like this. They'll be okay. They didn't need pumped and primed and whipped up into a frenzy. They come to worship God. And so I just backed up and sat down. And he just looked over there and patted me on the shoulder. He said, they'll be okay. And then after service, he said, you're dismissed. He said, sit down. So I just sat down. And he sat down beside me. And he said, watch this. And so we just talked and talked and talked and talked. Everybody was still there. As a matter of fact, I dismissed them one night. I told them, I said, you're all dismissed. We got church tomorrow. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. And I went and sat down. And so we're just sitting there, and everybody's just talking, whatever. Pastor stood up, and he said, hey, he said, the man said you're dismissed. You can go home. They just laughed. You know, they just loved hanging out with one another. They just loved fellowship. And he told me that. He said, when you go to a church and somebody says you're dismissed and they scatter like roaches that the light's been turned on, he said, that's not a healthy church. He said, nobody wants to be around anybody. They just leave. And you know what? I know we've all got things and stuff like that. We got work and stuff like that. I pastored a man in California. He had to be up every day at 3 a.m. in the morning. He had to be up 3 a.m. And he came Wednesday nights. I think we actually had church on Tuesday night. He came. He played his guitar. And as soon as I said you're dismissed, he didn't just light out. He went to everybody, shook their hands. God bless you. God bless you. See you Sunday. See you Sunday. But everybody understood. Everybody understood. Brother Steve's got to work, and so he's going home. But he shook everybody's hand and stuff. He loved the fellowship. Thank God for fellowship. That's what this city is. That's what this city is. Amen. This Hebron. Hebron means fellowship. And you know what it is? It is a refuge for the homeless. That's what it is. You know what I'm talking about. You come to the house of God and you feel like you don't have any family, but just give it some time and you got people in the church that are calling, amen, you calling everybody brother and your sister, and you got little kids running around calling you, amen, auntie or uncle or grandma or grandpa and stuff. You know, my kids growing up, they had several sets of grandpas in the church and several sets of grandmas in the church, and everywhere we went, they had aunties and uncles and all that other stuff. Why? Because that's the way that the house of God is. It is a family. It's a family. One of the biggest churches in Houston was named the Second Baptist. And so, you know, it's named Second Baptist. And so here we are. And I'm wondering to myself, now I wonder why anybody would call themselves the Second Baptist Church. I mean, come on. I mean, if I was going to name myself, I want to be first. Nobody wants to show up second. You know what second place is? Second place is first loser. And they named themselves Second Baptist Church. I was like, why in the world would somebody name themselves Second Baptist Church? So I did a little bit of research and I found out why. And the reason why is because they said, we are your second family. For whatever it's worth. Amen. But that was their whole drive. We are your second family. We're not just anybody. We're not just a church. We are your second family. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. Oh, I could pastor here for a little while. Amen. We may never get to go home. Amen. But praise God. You know what the family does? Amen. The family notices when somebody's not there. You sit down at the dinner table and somebody's not there and you're like, where's so-and-so? I mean, even families that aren't tightly knit together, like Saul's family. When he sat down and saw that David wasn't at the table, he looked around and said, where's David? He expected David to be there, whether there was good ties or good family communication or not. He expected David to be there. We know that he had ulterior motives, but he expected David to be there. There's nothing wrong with expecting somebody to be in the house of God every service. We're family. We're family. Hey, and I understand you're going to have problems. You need to understand that I'm going to have problems. I understand you're going to have good days, and you need to understand that I'm going to have good days. And at the same time, we're all going to have bad days. Amen. But woe unto us when we both have the same bad day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, but you know what? One of those cities of refuge, one of those places that we strategically made a place that they could come unto was a place of fellowship, was a place for the homeless. When you just didn't think you had anybody that cared, amen, and you was thinking to yourself, man, if my mom really cared, she would call. If my dad really cared, he would call. But it's a brother or a sister in the Lord, all of a sudden that rings your phone, and you answer it, and they say, hey, I was just thinking about you today. It does more for you. I'm telling you, amen, when my phone goes off and I look over there and I see a text message from somebody and it's one of the brothers or the sisters in the church and they said, just thinking about you, wanted to let you know that I'm praying for you. Hope you have a great day today. That's what family is all about. Don't be mad at me because I care for you. Amen. And I won't be mad at you because that you care for me. Amen. We love one another. We're interested in one another's well-being. And we want to go to heaven together. 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 Praise God. Amen. So the Lord said, I'm going to establish a place that when you feel like you have nobody, I'm going to put a place in your life that you can have multiple brothers and sisters in the Lord. Moms and dads. You know, I recently lost... You know, everybody would call him Brother Boney. And Brother Boney came into my life back in 2006, 20 years next month, January of 2006. Brother Boney came into my life. And you know what? I affectionately started calling him Dad. You know, I called him Pops. I'd call him times I needed to talk to him. And he was there for me. He was there for me. My dad wasn't there. And that's a whole long story. My dad was a workaholic and whatnot. And it's just a really long story. But Brother Boney was there for me when nobody else was there. Nobody else was there. And Sister Boney, I call her Mom. And you know what? She calls me. She calls me quite frequently now. There's sometimes she needs something, but she called me just the other day. She's like, hey, son, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm just sitting here doing some reading and stuff. So I just wanted to call and tell you that I love you, appreciate you. I'm telling you, God will do the same thing in your life. Put people in your life that care for you, that have no blood relationship whatsoever at all. Amen. God said, amen, we're going to establish a place for, amen, for the holy, for those that are not clean, that have got every issue of life hanging off of them. We're going to create a clean place and a holy place for them. We're going to create a place that they can come and they can cast all their cares, a place of rest, a place of refuge, a place that will shoulder the burdens. We're going to create a place of fellowship, amen, that when they feel like they have nobody, they can come to the house of God and they're going to have people that literally love them and literally care for them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some of you young men, you're going to be married and stuff. You're going to have kids. I want you to know you're going to have a house full of aunties and a house full of uncles. Amen. In the house of God, surrounding you. That's right. ready to help you. Amen. Some will want to give you a little bit more information that you want to be given. Amen. But we're going to let you parent your own kids and such like that. And we can spoil them and send them home with you. But that's what the house of God is all about. It's about being a family. It's about having fellowship one with another. Praise God. That was the third how. That was the third city. Amen. The fourth city, amen, was called Ramoth. And Ramoth simply means exalted. I almost said exhausted. But it means exalted. Exalted. And that's simply a place for the helpless. Simply a place for the helpless. A look at the manslayer, the one that is guilty, shows us that he does not really have self-protection. He needs help. He needs a place of safety. And so this place of exaltation, this place that is exalted, is a refuge for the hopeless. They don't have hope in any other thing. They don't have hope of tomorrow. If the manslayer, if the avenger of blood, if he finds me, I'm dead. If he catches me, I'm dead. I'm guilty. I didn't mean to do it. It was an accident. Didn't mean to happen like that. But it did. And if he catches me, I am hopeless. I don't have any protection. Let me tell you something, friend. You got protection in the house of God. We're not here to protect pedophiles and all those other things and such like that. But this is a place that people can come to and find, amen, refuge for their soul. They can come to and they can repent of their sins, amen. And they can find the hope that the Bible calls that was an anchor of the soul, hope. Amen. People that didn't have a hope, that don't have a hope for tomorrow, don't have a hope in life, amen, living in the state of depression. But yet they can come to the house of God, and when they come to an altar and repent of their sins, when they're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, and they come up out of the water, it's just like, amen, all of the stress just seems to go. I didn't say that all the problems in life are over, amen, but it seems God picks them all up, and all of a sudden you have a hope that you didn't have. You have a dream that you didn't have. Flicker comes back to the eyes. Light begins to illuminate the place. Joy begins to saturate the soul, all because somebody got some hope. I thank God that I found hope in the church. I thank God that I found cleanliness in the church. I thank God that I found shelter in the church. Amen. When I came to the house of God, I found protection for my soul. Praise God. Praise God. God said, I'll give them what they need if you can get them here. I'll be what they need. I'll protect them if you can get them to the place. You prepare the way. But when they get here, here's what they can have. Amen. The fourth city was the name of Golan. And Golan means separated. The exile was going to be separated from his former life. Bible said that old things are passed away. And that behold, all things become new. Amen. Separated. It was a refuge for those that were tempted. Praise God. It was a refuge for those that was tempted. Amen. They had a place that they could run to. They had a place that they could find safety from temptation. You know, sometimes you become so weary with the cares of the day. And it's like the devil is riding on your shoulders, just beating you over the head. And you're saying, no, devil, no, devil, no, devil, I'm not doing that. And it's like every time you turn around, you've got opportunity to sin. Amen. You can lie about things. You can cheat on things. You could steal things. You could do this. You could do that. You could be full of lust. You could be full of, amen, perversion and all those other things that is there. Amen. And just constantly, constantly overwhelmed by it. But thank God that you can come and find a place that has been exalted and separated. Amen. Totally separated from this world. Praise God. The house of God needs to be a place. Ooh, praise Praise God, I can step in the pastoral shoes right about now. Amen. The house of God needs to be a place that you can come into and feel safety and refuge from all of the things that are on the outside. Amen. That are out there tempting you and whatnot. You ought not to feel like you have to come in here and compete for a place and feel like somebody is trying to take your place. Praise God. I just want to be happy that I get to come to the house of God. I want to be happy somebody comes in and sits in my place. Amen. I'm not going to get all huffed up and create a route for somebody to stumble over because all of a sudden I got an attitude because somebody's sitting in my place. Praise God. I'm probably not going to come in and sit in somebody's place. And you know what? And that's when times it's time just to pack up all of our stuff and switch places in the church so we make sure that we don't have, you know, feeling like I've got authority. This is my place, bless God. We don't have that here. Some churches do. So they get them out. They get all bent out of shape because somebody's sitting in their place. I'm sorry. I didn't know it was your place. I didn't see a sign that said. Yeah, that's what you find when you go down to the deep south. Well, I didn't see a sign that had your name on it. Beg your pardon. Praise God. I'm being a little facetious, but trying to help us to understand. Trying to help us to understand. Praise God. You know what? Oh, Lord have mercy. When we come to the house of God, you brothers don't need to be dressed in such a provocative way that you're creating lust and such for somebody else. And the sisters don't need to be dressed in such a provocative way, amen, that somebody else is lusting over them. This is a place of safety. It's a place above temptation. We're not saying that amen, you understand what I'm saying. This is a safe place. It's a safe place that we can come to, and we don't have to be tempted by the cares of life. Don't we have to be tempted by the devil, tempted by our flesh? Sometimes it's not the devil; it's just your flesh. Stop blaming it on the devil. The devil's sitting back there laughing. I didn't have anything to do that, but if you want to blame it on me, I'll take the blame. Sometimes it's just your flesh. You need to get your flesh under subjection. Man, flesh, we ain't going to do that. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Let me get back over in the evangelistic shoes. Praise God. But we need a place, amen, that is separated. A place, amen, that is above temptation. That we can come into and we don't have to feel, amen, the pressure of the world. That we don't need worldliness in the church. Amen. We don't have to feel the pressure of the world that is there. We can come into and for lack of better words, you can just let your hair down and just have church. Amen. You don't have to. Well, you can just worship God and amen and feel the peace and the power of God. Praise God. I'm thankful for a place, amen, that God created for me to be able to come into. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Praise God. This is the place that God has established that you can come into. I want you to know that when you are unclean, you can come find a holy place. When you are overwhelmed, you can come find a place, amen, that he will take your burden. Amen. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whatever you need for your soul, amen, you can find in the house of God. If you need peace, you can find it. You need comfort, you can find it. He is the counselor. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. Everything that you need, you can find in the house of God. And God says, hey, if you will just create a way that they can get from there to here, I'll make sure that they're taken care of. I'll make sure that they're protected. I'll make sure that they've got a way, amen, that they can be safe. And God says, if you will just prepare a way, let's stand here tonight. Praise God. Praise God. this is just the way. This is just the way that we operate. And you know what we're doing? We're creating a safe place. We're cleaning out the thorns and the thistles, filling in all the washouts, building bridges, clearing out the stones of offense, the roots of bitterness, clearing out all of these things, making straight the path. And then we're going to every crossroad of life, because you're going to have a whole lot. Decisions, multiple times a day, decision. But at every crossroad of life, there's going to be signs that are going to be posted. Refuge this way, refuge. So what is the refuge? It's very, very easy. It's Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Amen. All of these men, they stood around Peter, and they was listening to Peter, and they said, what must we do? Men and brethren, what must we do? Must. That's pretty clear. What must we do? Peter stood up in chapter 2 of verse 38, Acts. He said, repent. He was making plain, making straight the path. You need to repent of your sins. That's where you and I were. We were guilty. We were overwhelmed by the cares of life. We weren't doing everything straight. We weren't doing everything right. We needed a sign that told us the way. And the way said, repent. Repent. Yeah. That means we had to come down to that altar and we had to ask the Lord, God, forgive me for everything that I've done wrong. We repented of our sins. We didn't continue in our sins. We repented from our sins. We did that military term that repentance stands for. We did an about face. We went the other way. We stopped sinning to the best of our ability. We stopped sinning. Some people say, oh, I'll stop sinning when I get the Holy Ghost. You're probably not going to get the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost can't come into an unclean temple. But when we ask God to forgive us, I didn't say that you're going to be perfect, but you're going to start putting your best foot forward, doing the best that you can. Now the Holy Ghost will give you power to overcome. But he said, repent. And they said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's where you and I were. That's where we were. You remember the first time that you came to a Pentecostal apostolic church? You looked around, you thought, man, these people are crazy. But you know, after you got the Holy Ghost, you become crazy too. It's because, like I preached this morning, he's been the best thing that ever happened to me. Yes. You go into a place and it says, no soliciting. Excuse me, what I've got's not for sale. And if it was, you couldn't afford it. Bill Gates and Elon Musk couldn't afford it. Not even with their combined money. But yet God will give it to you for free. That's why we came into the house of God, because we needed something. We didn't come to church because we had everything right. We didn't come to church because everything was going perfect in our life. We came to church because, typically, it's because I've already tried everything else and it doesn't work. Get this wild hair idea. Maybe I go try church. And something down inside the soul, something down inside the heart says, you know what? That's right. That's right. We came to church because we needed something. We came to church because we realized, you know what? I'm a mess. I'm a wreck. I'm messed up. That's what Paul said. He said, such were some of you. Yeah. We were messed up. We really were. We were messed up. Came to church and there's some fanatic preacher up there spitting and yelling and screaming, talking about repentance. Some point in time, you stepped out of your pew. You walked down the aisle to an altar. May have been a little bit intimidated at first. Overwhelmed, anxious. You did it, I did it. I remember January the 26th, 1990. Second row, far left-hand side from the pulpit. Stepped out of my pew, made my way down to an altar. Repented of all of my sins. God, forgive me. Forgive me. Everything that I've done wrong. I'm tired of running. Tired of doing wrong. Through with this messed up life. Would you help me? And he did. He forgave me of all of my sins. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. January the 28th, 2 days later, that was a Friday night, Sunday night, January the 28th, I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Freezing cold water. Stammering lips before I was ever baptized. Gold metal tank, blue metal tank. Big metal tank. It's like you could fill it up for a day and you still have to kneel down to get wet. So there, kneeling down on my knees, man of God baptized me in the name of Jesus Christ, just like they did everybody in the Bible. Everybody was baptized in Jesus' name. You can't find it done any other way. They were all baptized in Jesus' name. God filled us all with the Holy Ghost, and we began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. God did it, not us. God's been good to us. I didn't deserve this hope, but God gave me hope. I didn't deserve this cleanliness, but God spared me and gave me cleanliness. I didn't deserve to have the load lightened, but God shouldered my weariness. I didn't deserve to be separated from all the things of the world, but God prepared a place that I could come to, that I can come to and come away from temptation. God prepared all of that for me. God said, look, I've got it here for you if you can just get here. I want to let this whole city know God's got it for you if you can just get here. I want to let the county of Butler County, I want to let them all know God's got it for you right here if you can just get here. I'm sorry, but there's too many religious facilities that are out there that saying, you know what, you just accept the Lord as your personal Savior and you just continue living. And you know what, they accept the Lord as their personal Savior and they still messed up. They're still hooked on drugs, still smoking cigarettes, still living in vile ways and all that other stuff, and they feel like they're trapped and they don't have peace. They don't have a lightened load. They don't have any of that. The devil has just simply lied to them to try to appease their conscience. But the Lord said, if you'll really come unto me and if you'll truly repent of your sins, I will. I'll forgive you of all of your sins. I thank God for a place that I was able to do that. Amen. Praise God. These altars are open here tonight. Amen. Would you come? Praise God. Oh, there's nothing wrong with coming to an altar. You say, well, I've had the Holy Ghost for 37 years. There's nothing wrong with coming to an altar and saying, God, forgive me of my sins. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Paul wasn't perfect. Paul said, I got to find a place daily. Paul said it like this, I die daily. That's repentance. That's coming, finding a place with God and saying, God, would you wash me and cleanse me? Would you forgive me of my sins? Everything that I've done wrong. Book of Leviticus talks about even ignorant sins. That's just sins that you didn't even know were wrong. But yet you've got a place that you can come to and you can say, God, everything that I did that I didn't know was wrong, would you forgive me of that too? And if you would let me know that it's wrong, God, I'll stop it. I'll quit. I want to be right with you. I want to be separated. I want to be clean. I want to be what you would have me to be. God's got it all prepared. God's already created the way. God's already got it right. God said, you just got to get from where you are to the altar. You just got to get to that place of refuge. And if you can make it there, I'll keep you safe. I'll keep you safe. God's prepared it all. He's prepared it all. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, let's just take some time and love him here today.